Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very, very much. It's been a pleasure playing for you.
Oh, what a show. Let me get a shower first.
Hey, Mr. Vega! Mr. Vega! Oh, you cannot go. The people want more, please. Play only one more song.
Oh, yeah?
Please, Mr. Vega.
Oh, yeah? I don't see nothing wrong with it. But my band left already, so there's no support for me.
I can fix that problem. I fixed it already.
Yeah.
My brother will support
you.
This is a funky salsa band. It's the best salsa band in the whole wide world. Believe me, when I say so, I say so.
So when you say so, you say so. When I say so, you say so. Okay, but listen, I'm the Mambo King and not no salsa king.
You do, Mr. Vega. I know.
All right, you convinced me. I do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Stand By Your Band. I am Tom Takar, joined for another week by the Prince of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara. Tommy Snacknamara, more like it. Looking sharp in that shirt, buddy.
And in honor of our guest, whose last name is Lubega and goes by Lubega, I will be going by McNamara.
Ooh, I like that.
It's kind of cool.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Lubega was his last name until today.
Me neither.
Yeah. I thought his name was Lubega. But indeed, it is not. He's a German man. It turns out. Let's introduce our guest before we get too far. The wonderful Brittany Carney is on.
Hello,
today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're
Thanks
so excited.
So much for doing this.
I also
this is insane.
Until this moment, did not know that his first name was not Lou.
Yep, David Lubega is
David,
his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
He should have kept that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Has a lot of character.
He is a German recording artist, which I also did not know.
It's bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently his father was Ugandan, but and his mother was Sicilian.
Well, you know what Chelsea Handler said when she heard that?
You got to be kidding me?
Exactly. Yes.
It took me a second. I was like, dear Uganda, it's me.
We need to talk about that skit from Lou Bega's album that
Wait,
we just played.
That was a skit?
I consider it. I think he thinks it's a skit.
That wasn't just audio from his green room? I thought that we were just a fly on the wall in a day in the life of Lou Bega.
Wait, so that guy was going to sing or play salsa? Where's salsa is from? Where? I think
it's from Argentina.
Argentina. He was like some version of like some sort of Spanish-speaking world version of the French guy from The Little Mermaid. You know what I mean? Like
yes,
sort of cartoonish.
I mean, knowing that Lubega's German on top of this, that has got to be racist, right? That whole thing? That voice.
The voice feels racist.
When he said, when I sigh so,
what like, does that even mean?
That was a joke, and then Lou Bega is acting like he's not in on the joke. He's like, okay, if you sigh so, and then I say so. It doesn't make any sense.
What drives me crazy about that minute of audio is that so allegedly he is, we hear the crowd and he is literally just getting off stage and then he goes, my band already left. When did they leave? In the 3 seconds between leaving the stage.
There must be a lot of animosity.
Like, do they like jetpack out of there? I don't get how they could leave.
It's such a stretch. The whole album is kind of this weird concept thing of like him, it's like he's doing a fake live show. It's very strange
because
I'm pretty sure it starts with that. Like, I want to hear the beginning because we should just immediately.
Is that the beginning or closer to the?
No, that's the last. Then it goes into a salsa version or a salsa song called Mambo Mambo, I think, or Mamba Mamba. Let me see here.
Oh my God.
The whole trajectory is an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. It's called Mambo Mambo, and it's not the worst song on the album.
The whole thing is so deeply cinematic.
So this is Mambo number 5. You know it. You love it. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
What is that instrument?
liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter.
I've always thought that that line was offensive. Because it's like, you just said a bunch of names, and as I continue, there. What if you were Sandra? I'd be like pissed.
I mean,
you're like the first one.
No, Angela's the first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It might be Angela from The Office, which is not very sweet.
She's not sweet. That makes sense.
But she's hot. She has an appeal.
That's true.
Right? That you want her to like you. Maybe. I don't know.
That is true. I like Angela, Mindy Kaling, and Pam.
Brittany as a...
Hank Robinson. Sorry.
Did it offend you to not have the name Brittany in this song?
Well, as an 11-year-old, actually, I probably wished that, like... First of all, I feel like this was... The reason that that song and Lou Bega, I think, means a lot to me is because I feel like it was coinciding my realization that I could be a sexual being, you know? And I think I wished that I had a name that was, like, more flowery with more A's or something. You know,
sure.
You know, maybe inherently I didn't realize that. Now in reflection, I realize that's what it was. Like, that was my draw to the song.
Let's hear some more.
So what can I do? I really bag you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fly, it's all good. Let me jump in, please sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
I used to love that. What
that
a great sound.
That
I did notice, I was thinking about this song recently. It's very strange that he says, you can't run and you can't hide. That's like a terrifying thing to tell a woman.
Oh, it doesn't age well. But
no, it does not.
It's what 1999 wanted and liked.
Yes.
I was watching, actually, speaking of like running, I was like listening to that song today, walking home from work, but I didn't have earphones, so I was... just sort of playing it from my phone, but like into my ear.
Yeah.
Because I was scared that people would realize mostly just like teenagers leaving school would realize that I was listening to that song. And I was like, wait a second, this is what I would want if I get married for like my wedding, like song, when like walking to the altar. I think I would. I mean, it's a feel good jam. Who listens to the lyrics, right? I don't know if it's exactly the right message, but
right.
That feeling dawned on me.
I like that.
Honestly.
You can't run and you can't hide.
to talk about
yeah,
the lyrics,
yeah.
I was reading an interview with Mr. Lou Bega, and this is what he said about it. He said, okay, there's a deeper level. When you actually listen to it as a song, the first verse is about repentance, actually.
He said this sentence?
This was what he said in Vanity Fair, yeah. And the first verse, the lyrics are, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody in the car. So come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna.
Right.
Is that the start of the repentance? I don't know.
I think so. A beer pious bust, man.
Beer bust like I had last week. I must stay deep because talk is cheap.
Damn.
And then he names some women. And then here's where he gets to the part. He says, so what can I do? I really beg you, my lord.
Damn. Oh,
to me, flirting, it's just like a sport. So there's one sentence that could be,
yeah,
but it's immediately negated by the next sentence.
Really
where
funny.
Where he says, flirting is a sport.
Yeah, flirting is a sport. I love fucking. Also, God forgive me. Just a quick.
It is fun to picture him saying this in a confessional booth.
Father, forgive me for I had a little bit of Angela in the sun. This was a number one hit in Germany for over 10 weeks. And when import copies started to sell in the UK, RCA released it and it went to the top. It was also a record 20 weeks at number one in France and topped the charts in most other European countries. Damn.
But never number one in the United States.
Is that the case?
It got to number three, I think.
Got to number three.
I read, yeah.
Interesting. Well,
I just read something that I don't understand. It says, Bob the Builder, who is a cartoon character, had a number one UK hit with his version of this song.
What?
Well, now we have to find
it. I got to find this.
We can't not play this.
What year is that? Is it
It doesn't say what year. I think I might be having a stroke. There's no way that that's a real thing that I just read. I'm going to look it up.
Also, like, what's the thematic connection there? Isn't that a children's cartoon character?
Well, wasn't Rubega just building relationships?
Yes. That is true. That is the true heart of the song.
Okay, I found it. It's a children's music video.
Oh, my gosh.
We have to play it.
Yeah, I'm loading it up here. It's asking my age, because if I'm too old, I don't think I'm allowed to watch this.
You're too old, you got added to a list.
All right, here is the Bob the Builder version of Mambo.
So excited.
Mr. Builder, Mr. Builder.
All my tools are wet.
18, let's go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody's outside. So wow. Let's ride to the builders out around the corner. The
for the listeners at home, there are visuals available.
Yeah, this is a music video.
In,
is it number one in the UK? That's the dumbest shit. The UK is dumb as hell. No offense if you live there.
The puppets are in rhythm.
It's true. Hey, Bob the Builder, it's your cousin. Listen to this.
Oh, and you can hear their accents. They are like they're fully British in this.
I didn't know that Bob the Builder is Bob the Builder a UK cartoon. I thought that it, I mean, I know it was on Nickelodeon.
You know,
here.
A lot of them were like Teletubbies.
Oh, okay.
And the like.
Yeah,
I never thought of that as British either.
Of the Commonwealth.
Interesting. Apparently, anyway. This song was originally done in 1952 by Gumby. No, by the Cuban Mexican bandleader Perez Prado.
So it was an instrumental. He just took the track.
Known as like the King of the Mambo, Prado recorded numerous mambos, and when he ran out of inspiration, he would simply number them. And Mambo number 5 was one of a series of 8.
See, that's the funny thing to me when I realized that he was like fully German and had spent most of his life in Germany. That song, I guess he was trying to bring back this mid-century Havana vibe.
Yeah, well, he lived in Miami when he did.
Oh,
when he did this.
I
yeah,
didn't realize
he moved
realize
to Miami,
that.
I think, after school or something. Like, it's he did spend. He's in Germany now, I believe.
Oh, yes, as Wikipedia stated.
Yes. Let's see here. This was the theme song for the 2000 Democratic Convention. Until someone noticed the line, a little bit of Monica in my life.
Oh,
that feels like
so
a joke.
Funny.
It's funny that this says this was the theme song for the 2000 Democratic Convention, and it says in parentheses, Bill Clinton's party. Yeah, I know.
Do you think it wouldn't have been as close, that 2000 election, if we had kept Mambo number 5?
Yeah, I think... I think if Bob the Builder was singing it, it would have been bigger. That's insane.
Al Gore is the worst presidential candidate to pair with this song.
But that's so true.
Hold on a second. On VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders, Lou Bega said, "When I wrote the song, I believed it could be the thing. I believed it could be the thing it is today. All people hate it completely. That's what I thought. I knew it wouldn't swim in the middle because it was too different from all the other stuff that was outside, so I'm quite happy with it. Mambo makes you happy. Latin music makes you happy. It's sexual, it's erotic, energetic. I think that's the point."
Wait,
that
it's
felt
sexual
like nonsense.
And erotic?
Yeah, yeah. He managed to... It's a double threat. what a song. I'm very happy we found that Bob the Builder version.
That is the craziest thing ever.
He's the most self-aware man. I actually think he is the most self-aware man in music history.
Well, yes. You would think that until he released this song. Wait, no, actually, can we talk about the so he had a break. He had a long break between albums. He went...
Oh,
because this was, what, 99 or something?
Yeah, it was 99.
And then he didn't have another album until, let's see here, studio albums. He had something called Lunatic.
Oh, yeah, he was.
With L-O-U?
Spelled L-O-U, yes.
And then Free Again in 2010.
Which is funny because Nelly's group was the Saint Lunatics.
Right.
Right? So it was kind of the same thing.
The same
Yeah.
Yep. Same deal.
Same deal.
And also, and I think it was around the same exact time.
Sort of early aughts.
And the doctor who coined Lou Gehrig's disease.
Same boat.
Also a lunatic.
Same school of
loon sanity.
Okay, so I do have one more quote I want to read from that same interview, and this is kind of what we're talking about. But so he's talking about his time after that first album that was such a smash. And he says, "I admit, in 2001, when I was supposed to bring out the second album and 9/11 happened, nobody wanted fun songs for a long time." Vega says, "For some time, he battled with whether Mambo was a curse, but ultimately came to another conclusion. It can only be a blessing because it opened all the doors and changed my life." Any time a musician blames 9/11 for anything, I find it so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
I was just going to say, like, what do you think inspired him to create a second album? And now I know it was 9/11 happening just long enough before for him to at least emotionally get over it.
Are we ready to mambo again?
Oh, I've been ready all day.
Mambo can save us all.
The only thing that can heal this nation.
I would love to hear a sad mambo. Oh boy.
Watch, he'll drop a visual album next week, like Beyonce. You know, I think actually
just released something.
He did?
Yeah,
I didn't know this.
We got to listen to it. It's really it's very new. And, he's got his finger on the pulse.
he's got his finger on Sarah Paulson. In the shocking video.
So this is a single by Scatman John and Lou Bega DJ Skylig club mix. Here we go. Oh, wait. Sorry. Premature. Where is it? Okay, here we go. It's called Scatman and Hatman.
And Scatman is dead, by the way.
Yeah, so somebody put these together.
Wait, which one's dead? Scatman.
Scatman. But, so he had no consent on this, I don't think.
Scatman died in 99, and Vega was like, wait, brother.
A coincidence.
The fact that it's like a rhyme makes me feel like Bob Builder had something to do with it. You know?
All right, this is Scatman and Hatman.
I'm the Scat Man, and I'm the Hat Man. Shorty, I'm not stopping on a worldwide tour. Now everybody's scatting, mix it up to the sound of the mambo. Yes, it can't be blocked. 20 years and more, scatting new, I'm popping. Shake what your mama gave ya. Scat Man and Hat Man, traveling time. Scat Man and Hat Man, going online. Scat Man with Hat Man, do it in style. Let's go, go, go.
That song's great.
That slaps.
That part's good.
In what part of the world is everyone scatting?
Yeah, everyone is scatting. Everywhere you go.
Julie, what?
A little bit of Scat Man in my life.
I'm the Hat Man.
The Hat Man is a stretch.
And it's definitely a self-given nickname.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere, everybody wears hats. You don't get to be the Hat
Man. The singular Hat Man.
Just because you wore a fedora once doesn't make you the Hat Man.
What does that even mean? I feel like this whole thing has been sentences that don't fully register in my brain as things that make sense. Like, I'm the Hat Man.
I'm a Hat Man.
What does that mean?
The Hat Man feels like a Weird Al remix.
Oh, yeah. Like a sort of B-list one. That was really good.
I was reading a Billboard.com article about this song. And it starts with, "The Mambo King wanted to release a song that will rule the summer." And he says, "I think we have found one."
He was trying. Now you've heard of Hot Girl Summer. He wanted Hat Man Summer. And that did not happen.
Oh boy. boy. Yeah, what a jam.
That song is insane.
It's, oh my God. Let's see. It's him talking about it. Bega says that he shared, the shared 20-year anniversary of John's death in Mambo Number 5 ultimately led to the idea of the Scatman and Hatman track. We found out how much John and I had in common, says Bega. The guy died of a brain tumor in 99. My own father died of a similar brain tumor in 99 as well, just 4 weeks before the Mambo came out. Way to make it about the Mambo. And then, of course, there's the suits and the mustaches and the retro style. What a stretch, buddy.
Yes.
That,
well, it wasn't
wild.
Retro style when Scatman was doing it.
Yeah. He said, I didn't know that he is a hero to millions of people because he took something in his life that was portrayed as weak. He was a stutterer, and to millions of stutterers around the world, he is their hero because he showed them how you can turn something negative in your life into an asset.
That's cool.
It is, in his case, a main asset. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. There you go.
That is cool.
And Lou Bega similarly took something dumb as hell, like a fedora, and turned into
made a hero.
His greatest strength.
I'm tragically bald, and I made it my strength. I want to listen to some more songs on this album because
I do want to ask though before. Because this was your second choice of all the people in the world to talk about,
yes.
And I do want to know how you got there.
Okay, here's why. I feel like my first suggestion, if anyone's curious,
yes,
was Fat Joe.
Right.
Who I still feel a little bit connected to that idea, like emotionally. I think like Fat Joe and that sort of rest of that Murder Inc. community.
Sure.
For me, I was like a black kid growing up overseas, and that was like my true first connection to my blackness, I felt. I was like, okay, I'm not even sure Fat Joe is fully black, but he's like of this like hip hop urban world, and I think he's underappreciated. And then I thought of the most, and people don't always remember him. And then somehow my brain went to the most remembered, but perhaps over and underappreciated simultaneously figure of that era a little bit before, right?
Yeah.
A little bit early. It was like truly he, Lou Bega is like a truly sort of turned into the 21st century man. And similarly, I think I was like coming to my own as like, oh, I like these sort of like rhythmic beats. Like, I am of the diaspora, as is Lou Bega in Germany. Now I understand. And so, you know, I just think like for some reason, whatever his energy was as this sort of like Havana small mustache fedora figure in 1999, that's what the world wanted.
Right.
And I think there's place for, like, I think there's been enough time lapsed for him to re-enter the zeitgeist, and that's why I suggested him for this platform.
I love it. It was funny that we were all like so nervous about Y2K, and this soothed us.
Yes, this really did bring
that's
us
the
over.
Thing, it did.
It distracted us for a brief moment.
It truly did.
From the terrors of technological apocalypse.
No, it's true. It's like
true.
Memes and climate change, except like he truly, you know, that was the sort of decades earlier version of that.
That's so true. We were all like, hey, whatever happens with all those numbers, Lou's still going to be fucking. He's still
going
to smash.
All these.
He'll still smash.
Where did you grow up? Overseas? Story.
Oh.
You're good. Sorry.
I grew up in.
The suspense.
She won't tell us.
I grew up mostly in. Sorry, Japan.
It's okay.
But I think when I first heard Mambo Number 5, 1999, yeah, I was living in Singapore. Which you were earlier you were talking about the degrees to which Mambo Number 5 hit like European charts.
Yes.
It hit the Singaporean charts very quickly and highly to my memory, because I don't know, Singapore is like colonized by the British, so it's sort of up there in that world, right?
Interesting. Yeah,
and it
yeah.
just got really popular. And I think that was like when my school in Singapore, it was like an American school in Singapore. Mm. So they had like dances, and that was like my first experience with that.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a very sort of nostalgic tie to hearing Mambo Number 5.
Totally.
And listening to the CD with my dad in the car. And driving around Singapore, hearing about I got a girl in Paris, I got a girl in Rome.
Yes. It is like an all-time car family CD for people our general
sure.
age, I think. Like,
I just want to quickly talk about the Fat Joe thing real fast, because he brought up, and he made news this week, because he's...
What?
He's Latino, yeah. He's like Cuban, I think.
Oh, there you go.
Let's see here. There was a big story about it today, because he said something about like
a big boned story.
Where is this? He said something about like the he says all Latinos are black. And he talked about it. He said something like Latino people know the black experience more than some black people.
Well, I said the same thing in my keynote address.
I do remember that.
And was that with the bigger boobs?
Anyway, it was just weird that I was like, oh, I just read something about him.
Well, that is the perfect way for Fat Joe to sort of re-enter himself into the zeitgeist in 2019. Yes. You know, yeah. Make some hot take about race.
Let's hear a little bit of a song off of the album, A Little Bit of Mamba. Called 1+1=2.
Oh, yes.
He's still cracking up. Wait, that's the longest laugh ever.
1+1 is, what is it?
I've ever heard.
What is it? Guess. 2, 3? I think it's 2. Yeah, let me tell you.
It's insane.
Baby, here I am. I don't give a damn, cause I entertain them. Got a mic in my left and a honey in my right, and that is enough to make the vibes feel tight. I feel so good to bring my swinging to your neighborhood. I'm so swinging fine. Funky as I am, ain't no weather tonight. Baby, show me 1+1 is 2.
The same shit. Show me all the things that
you can do. Same song.
Show me how to love. Baby, show me 1+1 is 2.
This is not titled like remix of Mambo Number.
This is so funny.
There is a part of the song where he says the number 5 with like a sort of tongue planted firmly in cheek, like he's referencing the source of his original stardom. Right. He always goes back to what matters.
This is off the same album.
Yes.
It's not like years later, like, let's revisit. He was like, let's just keep doing this over and over again. So boy, to count on me, be my beauty on TV, so get out and set me free. I make you understand, you're my woman, I'm your man. And if it takes it all, I do all that I can. You're my number one, and not my number 5. So please, baby, come. It's insane.
I think they should play this in schools.
Oh, to learn counting? Yeah. I know, you're right.
It's
not
weird.
3.
Yeah,
it's
he's
not
like,
5.
Is it 3? Is it 2?
Well, that's like a...
I think it's 2.
That is like a children's entertainer thing at the start, and then he immediately starts swearing and talking about having sex.
You're so right, it's but... sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just a weird mix of like children's humor and adult themes.
His whole energy is a bit children's entertainer, right? Like,
yeah.
He's a little bit too dolled up, you know.
Just like
for
horny
adults.
Children's entertainer.
Oh, that song is so funny.
I can't believe it's the same chorus.
It's also like, if it's on the album, and obviously it's probably later than I don't remember the sort of track list, but, you know, it shows like, oh, he's like evolving now towards interest in monogamy.
Yes. Yeah.
I put this on my list.
Beautiful.
It's off of the album Free Again, which features the song "A Man Is Not a Woman."
We have to play that.
Yeah, we should listen to some of that.
It's like straight up. Is this it?
Yeah, this is "A Man Is Not a Woman." This is from 2013.
It is like 80s comedy level. Men and women are different.
Yeah,
and it's from a later album.
Yes,
I like this sort of 60s French vibe.
It is a fun.
It feels like Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Ages putting makeup when she buys heels to wear just once. She looks into mirrors that are passing by, and when you flunk, she easily detects your lie. She loves
okay.
the chat. For hours on the phone, she needs to learn gossip already known. And if you hear, let's talk, my dear. You better run for cover. You can change the fact they act like they act. They are so different. You can change the truth. There's nothing you can do. 'Cause a man is not a woman.
You got a good point.
After hearing that, truly, if I get married, I want my entire playlist on the dance floor to just sort of cycle through Willy Bega's discography. Like,
imagine people dancing to this.
Yeah.
You can do is not a woman.
People are scatting everywhere. I have it on my list that we should listen to a song. Wait, there's also a song on here just called You're a Liar.
You know what? I thought that was going to be funnier than it was.
Not
I
listened that good.
To it. It's like, okay. If you say she's not beautiful, you're a liar.
Oh, that's kind of the gist of it.
But yeah, I was looking through the track names and that one jumped out and I was so excited for him to be mad at a liar.
I was waiting for the, what is it? Harrison Ford, You're a Liar. All right, let's hear some of Ballin'.
Oh, I'm bored.
I have in my notes to skip to like 2:30, which is when I go to the dentist.
Nancy Sinatra.
Oh, wait, here we go. This is
Wait.
Also, is that his grandmother? The woman sounds a lot older than he is.
He's the worst actor of all time. And, like, he keeps putting himself in these situations where he has to
deliver.
You need to shut up.
Shut up, shut up. It's like rhythmic.
It does sound like he's talking to his mom or something.
Yeah.
That like, lady is a terrible actress. Where are you?
Can we listen to that again? It's yes. Too good. I hadn't heard it yet, and it's so, so good.
Oh, wait. Baby, we are balling with better than hanging out with his boys. I love it. This is the song of the summer.
Hello? Who?
Hi, baby.
Where the hell are you? I'm sitting and waiting here. When are you coming home?
Now it's time for you to shut up. Shut up.
And it's the best.
How is that even logical?
Now it's time for you
to shut up.
And so from the sound of it, the phone rings and then she says like, hello, is that you? So who's making the call? Like she answers as if she's getting the call. So it sounds like he calls her.
Hey, baby, shut up.
Just to stir some shit up.
Now it's time for you to shut up.
Oh, gosh. He's just showing off with the boys with whom he's balling.
That's hey, baby. True. He's hey, posturing.
Hey, boys, watch me
it's
call posturing. My girl.
And it's his aunt.
They're like, you need to treat her better. If you called your girl in front of me and talked to her like that, I would not stand for it. I'm an ally.
Brave stuff from Tom.
Oh, gosh. But speaking of, like, ally stuff, like, I don't feel like Lubega's general vocabulary of politics have evolved at all from 1999, and I kind of hope that's the case.
He's very, you know, it's like a Steve Harvey yes. level of yeah. gender dynamics yeah. that he's got yeah, going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's women are different, and they're always bothering you when you're trying to ball with your boys.
And they apparently, based on the last song, want gossip that is known. As if that's a phrase that makes sense.
It's a lot of stretches.
That's the most all funny right. thing I've ever heard.
Before we get any further into the show, we have a regular segment we have to get to called They Went to Jared, where we go to our friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Here are his thoughts on Lubega.
What's up, y'all? It's this week They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Lubega. This is tough because I don't really know what to do. I would think you'd have a hard time finding, you know, really very many people that know anything more about him other than the one song. Even reading through the Facebook comments, I don't really know what depth of knowledge, you know, I'm going to be interested to hear the guest perspective on this because, I mean, maybe I'm just completely off base here, but I think this is about as clear cut of a thing as there is in like a one hit wonder. But you know, I think it was a joke at the time. Like the song was never respected at all. And, you know, I'm kind of useless with this because I don't have anything more to add than anybody else would, which is nothing. Like no one would have anything to add here. So, you know, I guess I'll just let you go. Thanks.
Wow.
Wow.
Jared defaults to the guest.
Your response?
Oh, I don't actually. So maybe it was a joke. I don't think I agree with the idea that it wasn't respect at the time, because I feel like that when I think about Lou Bega's legacy, who is still living, by the way, if it was a joke, like if he was in on his own joke, it's sort of this like kind of Borat thing where like some people got it, but some people didn't, but like people appreciated it. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like Lou Bega then presents the eternal question, like, did he think it was funny? Did he think he was being an idiot? Was he sort of satirizing Western society in that? And I think that the mystery is what draws me to him to this day.
I gotta say, I don't think it was a joke. I think
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all. I was in, I think, like fifth grade when this song came out, right. And it took us all by storm, and not in an ironic way.
For sure.
Like, we were all like, hell yeah, I can't wait to see what the Bega Man has coming up and cooking up.
Yeah.
What's the Hat Man gotten it up his sleeve? What's the Hat Man? He's going to pull a rabbit out of that hat.
I guess here's the question that you can both weigh on, and here's what I think is a key question, a discussion topic here. Would you consider this a novelty song?
Now I would.
Yes.
At this point, I would. At the time, because I would consider like Blue to be a novelty song.
Oh, like I'm Blue. And I'm ready, I'm
gonna die. Nobody, like Eiffel 65 is not. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What these was going on this one hit year?
They knew how to get our ears for one song only.
They got them, yeah. Like forever. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I just think like, I don't think at the time it was novelty. I did think Blue was, even though it was fun. There was no way that we were going to care what happened after that, I don't think. Mm. I don't feel like they were hardcore Eiffel 65. I could be wrong, but Bega, I have a feeling he was touring and people were going, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Probably big international tours, too. So yeah. Why don't you think this song was a novelty song? And what?
At the time? Because it seems like he's pretty genuine that he wanted to do something new and revitalize Mambo.
The intent was not novelty.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think it's become novelty in that it's... One, it's still a thing that we talk about, but it's kind of funny to play it now. It's
right.
Not like people aren't putting it on like, I'm going to enjoy some good music.
Yeah.
But I think
yeah.
when it came out, it was very fun. And it was like, I think people listened to it genuinely. I remember listening to it genuinely. I would put it on and be like, this is a great song. It was on the Grammy nominations or something like that, that album that they put out. Every year or whatever, and I would I'm pretty sure it was on that album, and I would go to that song and be like, this is a banger.
There was a great a great little shade in one of the articles I was reading where it was talking about an interview he did right before that Grammys where he's like, I mean, it's crazy, you know, just 3 months ago I was watching these people on TV and now it's like tonight I could beat Sting, and then in parentheses it said Sting won the award.
Sting
was on the album.
That's hilarious.
Brand New Day.
It was Brand New Day, for sure.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
That is hilarious.
It was just like an Arrested Development, like narrator. He lost to Sting.
See, now thinking about this, I think of like the Macarena. Did you ever watch the music video that came along with that?
Of the Macarena?
It was like hot kind of women. It was like super 90s, obviously, vibe.
Yeah, well, I don't women judge women's different... beauty, so I wouldn't know about that. But
I think you need to shut
up. Like, my dad didn't let me watch the music video for the Macarena because it was just like women in scantily clad clothing. But he let us listen to this Mambo number a little bit of Mambo Ellipses, by the way. Album title is a little bit of Mambo dot dot dot. But he listened to it in the car. So I don't know. I think about this too. Like, my dad is just like a, you know, baby boomer man of like an analytic ilk. Like, he's pretty, he like gets jokes. He like was also earnestly into Lou Bega.
Right.
So he really captured multi-generations.
Yeah, for sure.
Across cultural lines.
I don't think even if we were older at that, because like I said, I'm in fifth grade. I don't know what is what, but I think if I was, you know, 25 or whatever, I still would have been like, this is good.
It would have been so fun.
So.
Yeah, to be in your 20s and like that comes on at a bar and you're just like, hell yeah.
Well,
like with no nostalgia. Just this is the
you're
new
like,
thing.
This is new music. This is good new music.
So funny. Remember like LMFAO? Those songs, when those came out, those were like party jams, but a little bit.
But they were novelty, though.
They were novelty.
Well. Like, we, there was supposed to be, it was supposed to be funny, I thought. I mean, their name was LMFAO.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's true.
Shots,
that's
shots
true.
Felt like novelty.
Yes.
There was I was in San Jose, California recently, and there was an old man in a toupee who went up and did party rock at karaoke, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And just like
like,
nailed
seriously?
It.
That's funny.
Yes, and he just really sold it and nailed it. It was so great. That's the kind of old man I want to be.
Yeah. That's like, the dream.
Oh, I think you'll get there. let's listen to a little bit of I Got a Girl.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Again, starts exactly. Like, yeah.
It's just the same back.
I don't got a boy.
I got a girl who is not a boy.
I got girls worldwide on the planet. Some call Whitney, some call Jenny. I got a girl in Paris, I got a girl in Rome. I even got a girl it's the same type of song.
Also, I love I Got a Girl in Vatican Dome. Like, no, you don't.
You're lying, Lou.
That's the Vatican.
Girl is in the Vatican.
I got a girl in Antarctica. No, you don't.
I got a girl named John Paul II.
It's so similar. Germany, all around the planet,
you can be my fantasy. I got a girl. He just rhymed Germany with fantasy.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see.
That is the sort of underlying narrative here. Third track.
He even does the, like, record scratch thing in this one again.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Oh,
what a song.
What a song. Also, just like more, just like a sort of building on a theme.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe that's, you know, maybe that's what he's going for.
Yeah, because Area Codes came out. Who's saying Area Codes? I know, I got Hoes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little bit later aughts.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh my gosh. I really can't get over that Vatican Dome line.
Vatican
like,
Dome, yeah.
That, okay, he like had to do Rome because like what other cities exist or matter? And then of all rhyming, or I mean, I guess that's it. Really, right?
I guess so. Damn. He's got girls
what
everywhere.
How does it even communicate?
I love that it's just the same, all of them. And it's like not spread across different albums. It's the same album.
Well, then he says, I got a girl on the moon. Yeah, I got a girl on Mars. I even got a girl that likes to dance on the stars.
Wow. I've heard of dancing with the stars. Boy, have I. But dancing on the stars. I want to dance on top of the stars. The celebrities, I mean. Kill the rich.
I'm sure some of them would be into it. Those twisted freaks.
Yeah, that fucking... I can't remember who's doing it this year. I know there was... Isn't Spicer doing it? Yeah. But
oh,
Spicer's
I saw that.
Foot fetish fuck.
Does he have a foot... Where did
I
that come
assume.
From?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Well, he comes
we
from
probably
feet.
Get sued. My man. All right.
Do
let's
you think
hear...
Lubega's had sex? Like, I...
It would be so funny if he was a virgin the whole time.
This is all like just an elaborate
thing.
Oh, my girl, she's on the moon.
Well, it's probably hard to pick up women and you keep telling them to shut up.
That might be my favorite clip we've ever played
that's
on the show.
Bad.
Shut up.
You need to,
shut up.
And then it echoes. Like
it echoes.
And she has no response. She listens.
No, so she's like,
I feel like maybe some of this can be... He leans towards sexist a little bit. Here's a song called The Most Expensive Girl in the World.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I remember what I wanted to hear from this. Jimmy was a fly guy with a big Mercedes. He thought he could get all type of ladies. He made a lot of money because he's a money maker. And if he looks for style, he writes discs in Jamaica. Now, Tommy, have you considered getting into the industry of money maker?
Money making you.
Because that's where the money's at. Okay, so basically this is a song about a guy who is trying to... He's trying to pick up the most expensive girl in the world. This lady wants, like, lavish things. You'll hear
more. Beautiful girl standing at a bar. And Jimmy could sweat. She looks like a star. She looks like a star. Like a star. Like a star. Like a star. 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 Love like
you never... So it... As you could probably guess, this doesn't end up working out for this guy. He picks up a girl at the bar. She wants big things, and he gives everything to her.
But never for, any kiss he gets, she takes him to the store. Every time she buys more than Jimmy can carry. So she employed a butler, and his name was Larry. And his name was Larry. And his name was Larry. Larry, 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 Larry. Got the most expensive girl in the world.
This song is a dork. And what others? What other song have you heard the name Larry like five times echoed rhythmically?
Like as if it's like a cool sentence.
His name was Larry. Well, you're gonna look the fool in a moment when Larry comes back to bite him in the ass.
Literally?
Looks like a star. Jimmy's out of money. He spent all on his honey. He's searching for a credit, but his friends regret it. He's working at three jobs, but that is not enough to pay all her needs, to pay all her stuff. I saw her later on a luxury ferry, and next to her stood a man, and his name was Larry.
God damn!
Oh, fuck!
This is like a short story.
Yeah.
This is a moral story.
Aesop's Fable uncovered.
Don't buy your girl a butler named Larry.
Because Larry will get
Larry's in Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Oh my gosh.
I like to picture that like the record label's like, please don't write a song that's just you talking about a woman. And he's like, what if there was a guy named Jimmy? And he talked about women.
Oh,
like that's as far as his imagination can go, Jimmy.
It's
well,
so good.
Also, just break up with someone if she's toxic, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
You know what I wish he did? Was one of my favorite songwriting turn is when... I wish it would have gone, like, he saw him with a guy, and his name was Lou. And it turns out he was there the whole
that
time.
That would be good.
But that's
yeah.
the kind of songwriting twist I like.
I would like that, too. Yeah, he's like... And then he just goes, Mambo, number five! He was singing a little something like this. And he just, yeah. It gets him back in. Those were all the songs that I picked out. But are there any that you would like us to hear?
Yes,
Brittany.
There's one I think of. It's called. I think it's called Tricky Tricky.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's hear some of Tricky Tricky.
She likes bars. She likes diamonds too. She likes stars if
they're
wonderful. She likes champagne to maintain a style. She likes a man only for a while. She likes access to your bank account. She likes dollars. She likes British pounds. She likes money only in high amounts. Baby's cool. She knows what counts. She likes to pay with credit cards, ride expensive cars, stay in the president's suite. And every day she's looking for a soul shaker, troublemaker. She is a heartbreaker, undertaker, money maker. She is
the undertaker.
A soul shaker, troublemaker.
She is a heartbreaker.
She's an undertaker.
Sort of dark and gothic for a moment.
But she is pretty, pretty.
She's complex. She does the suplex. that one's listenable for sure.
I think as like a 10-year-old awkward girl,
uh-huh.
I heard these lyrics and I was like, no, this is the kind of siren I want to be,
right.
And I see myself as. It just takes Lou Bega for me to see that in, you know,
that
20
one
years.
I forgot about because there was a few on here that I was like, I can't keep listening. Like,
oh, yeah.
I listened to the whole album today and there was a couple where he keeps saying the same thing and I was like, I'm going to throw up if he says this again. It was really making me sick. This song called Beauty on the TV Screen is brutal.
Oh, I remember this. I have not heard it in years. Takes me back.
Open wide, so please could you jump on that damn TV and put
See, he
him
is
repeating that beauty thing.
Repentant, co-produced by God. His piety comes back.
Boy, what an album. My God. What a time.
So there was one in 2013. I just wanted to bring this up before I forget. Oh. When Lou Reed died, a bunch of people thought that Lou Bega died. And, yeah. He had to like tweet out that he was still alive.
Like the world was asking, or they were, I guess.
Yeah, he said, R.I.P. Lou Reed, the genius who took walks on the wild side. P.S. I have been receiving tons of condolences because of a journalist confusing our identities. That must be the worst journalist in the world.
that reminded me, when we first moved to New York, Tim's already here. When we first moved to New York, I was walking over on the Lower East Side, and I was meeting you at a bar somewhere, and I heard on my way into the bar, I heard a guy standing outside go, "Man, fuck Lou Bega." I still don't know why.
Classic New York moment.
It perplexed me.
It might have been Larry.
Okay, well, let's jump over to Facebook, another one of our recurring segments. We have people comment on my Facebook status where I ask people if they've got thoughts about the artist we're talking about this week. Of course, we were talking about Lou Bega, and people did have thoughts. Jared was right. A lot of the thoughts were people being like Mambo Number 5, like whatever about Mambo Number 5. John P. Nilsson writes more like Who Bega? Am I right? Throw some respect on my man's name.
You know what is kind of funny, though? I feel like that's the common Twitter joke is like, when's Mambo Number 6 coming out? And then it's like, well, the song he sampled it from, there is a Mambo Number 6.
Yeah, yeah. There's so, Mambo Number 8. Yeah. It's a bad joke.
So shame on you.
And you're stupid for doing it. Ryan Moran says, I'm just here for anyone who has thoughts on Lou Bega. Gary Greenblatt writes, thank God for Lou Bega because Bar Mitzvah DJ... DJs need songs to play that even Bubby likes. That's fun. Josh O'Neill writes, my first CD I ever owned was the Mambo Number 5 single. Second CD was a Radio Disney compilation, and the first track was Lou Bega singing a Mambo Number 5 about Disney characters.
Wait, can we try and find that?
Okay, yeah, we gotta find that. There's little... Yeah, there's like little Mickey Mouse heads everywhere.
Want some ice cream, but I really don't wanna. Let's dance till we all fall down. You really party hard and do the mumbo sound. I like Minnie, Goofy, Pluto, and Daisy. And as I continue, the gang is going crazy. So what can I do? I really beg you, my lord. To me, dancing is just like a sport.
I wish you could see him in this video. He's phoning it in so hard. He's like clearly like he's done this too many times now.
He kept the lord in.
I know. It's weird he kept that line.
That's what matters to me.
Wow, that's good.
So he kept so many of the lyrics the same that it's pretty easy to infer that he is fucking these characters.
A little bit of Daisy in the sun? What are you doing, dude? That's a foursome, baby. The trumpet. that's bad.
I had sex with Scrooge McDuck.
Swam through his dick. They were going to the pool. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's like... It really is like the same song.
Yeah, he changed so few words. He changed.
I want to know what his actual reaction was when he was pitched this idea. What he said.
I'm sure it was much like Scrooge McDuck. His eyes turned to coins.
Let's see. Gary Elzinga writes, the conversation pieces on a little bit of Mambo are so incredibly cringe-inducing. Ice cream, 1+1=2, and behind stage will make both Tom's go, what the fuck, for sure. That's funny. I did not see this comment before, but we didn't play Ice Cream, but maybe we can listen to it on the way out. Huge guilty pleasure because I grew up listening to the CD on repeat that whole summer, but looking back, it really makes me roll my eyes. Let's see. Charlie Vergos writes, him doing Mambo Number 5 at the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade was the moment I learned all the performances were lip-synced. Also, I love that song. Kelly McInerney writes, in grammar school, my childhood best friend Jessica loved the song because it said her name. That's all I got.
Between this and Freak a Leak, it was a golden age.
Oh, that's true. Just naming women.
We could just name a bunch of women.
Freak a Leak, I'm going to say it better.
Wow.
I love Freak a Leak. I think it is between. Tim, what do you got? Freak a Leak versus Mambo Number 5.
What else would we debate?
Freak a Leak.
Yeah, you are. Right. Brittany, what do you think?
Well, I'm standing ground, Mambo Number 5 man over here.
Hey, a woman is not a man. Right, same time.
That's it. What a show.
This was so fun.
This was a great time.
What a show, in parentheses, ellipses. Just like...
let's play Ice Cream on as we do plugs and get on our way
for
out.
Sure. I don't think we need to rate this playlist. It's obviously 5.
Yeah, I think we need to shut up.
Let's hear a little bit of Ice Cream in the sun.
Well, we do. Yeah, Brittany, is there anything you want to plug while we get this going?
No, I have different shows coming up in New York City. I guess I post my shows on Instagram @Brittany_Carnage. That's where to find me.
Hell yeah.
This is Ice Cream, by the way. I want to hear the beginning. On to the sea.
There's some calypso.
I will be at the Big Hunt in D.C. the first weekend of October, so come out to that. Also, I'm hosting a new show in Bushwick called Good God that is very fun. We just had David Cross on it. The next one is October 22nd. At 8:30 p.m. at the Sultan Room, and we've got Aparna Nancherla, Chris Gethard, Daniel Simonson, I believe it's AJ Holmes is the name of the man who we got, Broadway star from Book of Mormon
cool.
And South Park writer.
Wow.
So yeah, come to that. It'll be very fun.
Is he going to do Carmen?
God, I hope so. He's so funny. It's like not even what he does. We just make him do it.
Do Carmen.
He's like not even good at it.
This will probably come on Thursday. I'm on a show called Too Many Cooks Tonight. I got... one thing that you should watch, Mary Houlihan did this episode of Chris Gethard Presents that was so funny. I have a tiny part in it, but you should watch it because she's amazing and the whole show is so funny. So I highly recommend that.
Love Houlihan.
Past guest.
Yes. Check out the Patreon. And
We're
about to record one with Tim. He just got back from Europe. All right. Keep it crispy. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Yeah, this is so fun.
Ice cream. By my side, waiting on a saddle ride. We're going to do a thing that's mega. I'm having way more sex than them kitties playing Sega. Thank you, Jager. I'm dictating the game, and I don't stop until you scream out my name. Kitties playing Sega?